If you would, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. That is the focus of our lesson. And I've got a lot of paper to prove it. But first, everything that's been done here this morning has punctuated my lesson, the lesson that I'm going to present, perfectly. The things that Glenn said at the table, if you were listening carefully, and listening will be one of the words that I hopefully go back to again and again, if you listen carefully, you heard of several names of people we need to pray for. And we have prayed this morning for this congregation. And we continue to pray for this congregation. And we continue to pray for each other because we love each other. That is the love that we have to grow in. That is the love that God has taught us to have for one another, that Jesus has taught us to have, that he's encouraged us to have. And you can read any epistle in the New Testament, you will see that. Paul, speaking to the Thessalonians, abound in love. He prayed that they would abound in love. And that's a very valid prayer for this congregation and any congregation of God's people on this earth. And that's something we need to be close to. So Glenn opened very well, as he always does. And I think he called me peculiar. Strange would be even probably a better word. But his remarks were very kind, as he is. But I can't get over the song choice that Kent chose, because he couldn't have chosen better songs for this lesson. And those are words that we need to hear very carefully when we sing them. That last song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Those words are very well written in terms of what a friend we have in Jesus, and to put our cares upon him because he loves us, that he died for us, that he was a sacrifice for us, that we stand before God today reconciled because of his death, his sacrifice, that we are God's people because of that sacrifice. So the songs that we've sung plumb very well with this lesson, but there are songs that we, as a congregation or as individuals, those are words we should have in our hearts every day. And really, that's all I'm here to try to do, is to, kind of like Peter in 2 Peter, remind us of things that we already know. Because you're not going to hear anything that you haven't heard before. I'm pretty sure of that. You're just going to hear it from me. But the words are true nevertheless. And the prayer that we heard this morning, the service at the Lord's table, Jesus our King, those are all words that we need to listen to very carefully. And I'll tell you this, there's not a prayer that goes by that's said from this pulpit or in this congregation that I don't hear the words that relate to faith, hope, and love. And this point to be made is that those three things bind us: faith, hope, and love. And that we pray for those three things, they're included in our prayers, that's a good thing. Because that is what binds us. And what I want to try to illustrate this morning, maybe more than illustrate, is to say that prayer is what sustains us. That last song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Without that friend, without that sacrifice, without that love, without that, we are the people of God. Without that connection, without that faith, life every day, I think, would be a very hard thing. I don't know what it would be like, because I've never, in my thinking memory, existed without it. Because I was taught to understand who God was at a very young age. Not all people are that fortunate, I guess. But we are fortunate that we're standing here, sitting here together. and that we all have the same faith, the same desire to please God, the same desire to go home to heaven, the same desire to walk humbly, meekly before our God every day of our life. And that's something that's it's important to us, and I think I am correct in saying it's special to us. There's people outside these walls that do not understand that. There's people outside these walls that discount prayer. I'm not talking to those people this morning. I'm talking to people who understand what prayer is. And hopefully I do a little bit of a presentation that kind of reminds us of some things. And maybe it ties it a little deeper into our minds what it is and what it means to us. Because one thing you have to do to be, and I'll throw out some of those other words, diligent, vigilant, sober, to consider what righteousness is, you have to think. And you have to think deliberately. Prayer is just not a passing thing that you do by rote and you've done it well, any more than studying is just a simple thing that you're going to hear what I have to say and you've had enough studying today. No, that isn't it. That doesn't even cut it. Studying is drinking deeply of God's word and what he wants us to understand. Implanted word, that's a good word, implanted word. That means it's stuck. If it's implanted, it's growing. And hopefully that we, each one of us can say that we have the implanted word, the purified word, the word of God in our hearts. And that's what I'll use the word, motivates us. We better have something that motivates us. And it's that desire to please our God and to do what his son has taught us to do and to walk in his footprints. Everything that I'm going to, perhaps, most of what I'm going to say is in 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And that's why you're not going to have to turn to a whole lot of pages. But I will refer to the Psalms a little bit. Because Peter, I know. Peter well says what he wants to say. We know a lot about Peter from the Gospels. We know a lot about how he would be the first one to stand up and speak, and he did on Pentecost. He would say things and then sometimes regret saying things, but devotion was not something he was lacking in. And I think when he got around to writing 1 and 2 Peter, he said it very, very well. And then I'll give you, this is a freebie, because it's stuck in my head for a long time since I read it. In the last chapter of 2 Peter, Peter refers to Paul, and our brother Paul in the epistles he wrote. He speaks, basically, he's talking at that point about the long-suffering of God. And God is long-suffering. He's long-suffering to us, not that any would perish. But beyond that, Peter and Paul, If you read and compare, they're saying the same thing, which they should. It's the Bible. It's God's word. But if you read what they say about faith, and you read what they say about love, and you read what they say about hope, it's like two people discussing the same thing to give us a fuller and richer understanding what those words mean. In 1 Peter chapter 3, this is our yearly plan, is verse 15. And I will read you verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to it, to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And I think, and I know why that verse was chosen, because that verse in one little verse says an awful lot to every last one of us. But you got to read it. You got to think about it. You got to digest it and don't just take it as a casual reading. And that's where the rest of Peter gives explanation and where I hope to add a little explanation. But I'm very grateful that Victor, in the last month, he talked about the church of sanctified people, because that's basically where I'm starting. If we understand who we are, and that's my first question, if we know who we are as a people, we know what's important. And being sanctified means simply set apart. And it's set apart to God. And because God chose us in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter talks about in verse 15, "But as he who called you is holy, you be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy, for I am holy." That's just referring to our Father. That's referring to how we're supposed to be like him. That's referring again to how we're supposed to be sanctified, set apart. How we're supposed to be, I'll say it this way, we're supposed to be with him. And to be with him, we have to be like him. To follow in Christ's footsteps, 1 Peter chapter 2, we follow in Christ's footsteps. We hear his words. We understand his words to us, and we follow those words. And we become Christians. That's how we all started. We all had the faith to begin the trek. And we all had the faith to begin the journey. And what I want to point out to you in 1 Peter, as well as, I'll even go back to Ephesians chapter, in Ephesians, Paul speaks in chapter 4 about how we once were those that followed other things. Rather than paraphrasing, I'll read it to you. In Ephesians 4, in verse 17, he says, This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. We are no longer that people, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. I want to emphasize that. Alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, we have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all in cleanliness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. And then he talks about putting off the old man and putting on the new. And that's what we have each done. And that's what we strive to do each and every day of our lives. So that's why, and I'll say that in a simple summary, hopefully, that's why we stand sanctified before our God. Another word in verse 15 besides sanctify is in your hearts. And a fellow named D. Bowman, in a lesson, and probably the lesson on this verse, defined heart as intellect, will, and emotion, the total of your person. So if you grab onto that, intellect, will, and emotion, that's what's going to drive us. That's who we are. That defines us. And in understanding our heart and in terms of who we are, that'll define how we pray. It'll define how I pray. Bounce up two verses, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, and the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Peter refers to it, Paul refers to it. We used to be those that did evil. And even in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter in verse 9 says, not returning evil for evil, reviling for reviling. Why do we have to keep being reminded not to be bad? Because we can go back to it if we choose to. If we don't grow our faith, if we don't stay close to God, and that's my first point, how do we stay faithful and close to God? As we pray. And that's my first point, that we have to stay close to God, to our Father. And if we are a sanctified people, we have been defined as people who are close to God because he chose us. And in Romans chapter 8, we are his people. That makes us special. And Peter, again, says that. In 1 Peter chapter 2, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people. And if you want it in a nutshell, that's it. That's who we are. We're special because God called us, he chose us, and we answered the call. And we sit here in this congregation today because we are God's special people. That's point number one. And that's a big point. I wrote this down. It is not hard to stay close to someone we trust and have confidence in. How can we behave differently toward our Heavenly Father? We have trust and confidence in him. So the bottom of that point is stay close to God. When Moses wandered in the wilderness, who led the way? You think Moses was close to God? When Noah built the ark for how many years? Do you think he was close to God? When David survived Saul in the wilderness with his 300 or 600, never can remember the number, with his 300 or 600 men, and he was basically running for his life, he was close to God. When he wrote 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." God's name is important to us. And that's why we want to honor him, show him reverence, respect, and our love. And he wants us to be his people. And that's who we are. If we stay there, close to God, we're going to stay faithful all our lives. But because I see Peter and Paul both speaking of how we can fall, and then Peter in 2 Peter, and I'll go ahead and take you there. In 2 Peter, after he first says, add to your faith, if it wasn't important to grow, do you think Peter would have listed it this way? He's listed it differently than anybody else. Add to your faith. You have these divine promises. You have everything that God has given us. You have his grace. You have his love. He gives us of his mercy and his comfort. But for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going, and add love. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. And the problem with that is, in verse 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. If we couldn't fall away, it wouldn't be said that way. And if it wasn't important, Peter wouldn't say, I'm reminding you of this because I think it's necessary to stir you up. And what I've learned in my own life, it's necessary that I stir myself up. It's necessary that people stir me up. It's necessary that Carol helps me stay stirred up and helps me to stay reminded. It helps that we're all looking out for each other. And it's only because the fellow sitting near the front reminded me this so many times that how many times do you tell your wife you love her? One time and that's good enough? Or every chance you get? Dee reminded me of that. Paul speaks of Christ and the church, how man, husband, loves his wife. How often do we tell God we love him? We told him once, and that's good enough. We told him thank you once because that was expected. The song we just sang, what a friend we have in Jesus. We bring our cares to him. We live every day with him. And with our Father, who helps us every day to take a step. When Paul in Ephesians 4, I think verse 2, walk humbly with your God. Walk humbly before your God. And that's meekness and humility. And those are two words that are tied together like two words can't be tied together any other way, I guess. They're very strong words that we have to latch on to. Meekness and humility. We want to be prideful and selfish. The world does. In some cases, we're even taught that in the world, to be prideful and somewhat selfish. But we can't be that as meek Christians. We got to be meek and we got to be humble. And we got to walk before our God that way. And we have to walk before each other that way. Well, my second point is that we don't get lost in this world. In 1 Peter 9 through 11, in verse 90, Peter talks about not rendering evil for evil. Well, that's getting lost in this world. Don't let the world define who we are. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul speaks of the armor of God and the shield of faith. That's what helps us, but it's the whole thing. The armor of God is many pieces. We don't choose which piece we want to wear today. We want to wear all of it. And the reason why we need it all, we need to stand up. Why do we need to stand up? Because we're going to be attacked. We're going to have problems, trials, tribulations, things come our way we're going to have to deal with. That's life. But the point of being a Christian is we're not alone in that. And let me turn to Ephesians chapter 4 real quick, because at the end of that armor of God, there's a verse that is very good. At the end of that armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, and if you take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which we are supposed to be diligent to understand and learn. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We're to look after each other. We're to hold each other up. We're supposed to be able to stand, because if we can't stand, we're not going to stand. And by standing, we each help each other stand. It's pulling together. And in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's his might that sustains us. And without that, we don't have the ability to stand like we should. If we don't put our dependence upon God, we will not stand the way God wants us to stand. We need to make that connection to God. We need to have that commitment and that trust, which we started with every day of our life. In other words, we have to be working every day of our life. What I wrote down here is sheep and people get lost. They drift away. Well, that's Hebrews. I think it's the second chapter. Don't let ourselves drift away. Every soul is important and every soul has value. If you need a scripture that's real simple, it's 1 Thessalonians 5:16, pray without ceasing. That doesn't say we just pray in the building. That doesn't say we just pray in our house. That says we pray without ceasing. And when Daniel, I'll say it this way, got arrested, what was he doing? He was praying. Did he endure? Yes, he did. But like I said at the very beginning, faith, hope, and love are what binds us together. So let's hope and let's have faith and let's love. And again, at the bottom of the page, I say in 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. In verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And I keep repeating those words because we need to stand. And our faith will help us do that. In verse 12 of chapter 3, 1 Peter, I will read it again. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Again, who are the righteous? That's who we're supposed to be. That's who we are. And his ears are open to their prayers. His eyes are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. It's put in words for us to understand. His eyes are open, and his ears are open. He knows what's going on. He's listening for us. He's listening to us. And he's there for us. I read this someplace else and I thought it was pretty good. You don't have to bang a drum or do animal sacrifices to get God's full attention. Because we're Christian, we have his full attention. We already have it. And through prayer, we're connecting to God. And when I was younger, I don't think I understood exactly what that meant in terms of prayer, in terms of when we pray or how we pray. But what I'll say in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. We pray regularly. We pray often. And again, as somebody taught me a long time ago, you can pray short. And you can pray in 2 seconds when you need help. You can simply say, God, help me. And in Hebrews chapter 13, he promises to do that. He is our help. He will look after us. He will help us. Not only did he say those words to Joshua, those words are said to us as well. He will help. He will look after us. He is there for us. And that's why it's so important to me, to eyes of God and the ears of God. I mean, there's many places in the New Testament it talks about hearing and seeing, and people being dull of hearing. Jesus taught it again and again about the Pharisees, dull of hearing, couldn't see, taught in parables, they couldn't see it. We have to have open eyes and open ears and be receptive to what God has to tell us. What we hear preached from this pulpit is the Word of God. We have to have ears to hear it. We have to have eyes to read it. We have to know it. And that's what we have to do every day. And to think that God is far from us, and I think there's some people that think that, not us, but some people, or that God doesn't exist. Paul in Acts, when he got to Athens, he told these people who are not believers, God is not far from each one of us. For in him we live, move, and have our being. We live and move and have our being. Those words that he gave to those Athenians that day apply to us. That's why God's wisdom is higher than man's wisdom, and that's what we need to be listening to. Or, I put a big or on my piece of paper, or do we listen to social media, friends, and work? Every influence and every noise around us, because there's plenty of noise out there. And what we've got to do is put the right filter on our ears and our heart. We've got to be careful what we let in. And we've got to be careful how we hold on to God's word. Again, Paul said it right when he said, shield of faith. You're not going to be able to fight without that faith. You're not going to be able to hold on to it without that strength of God's word and study of God's word. You're not going to be able to do that without prayer. We got to do it all. And we can ask every day for God to help us. If you want to know a lot about prayer, the thing that has impressed me a lot is reading the Psalms, and reading specifically the Psalms of David. We're reading the Psalm 119 every evening, Sunday evening. Why are we doing that? Because it speaks to God, almost in every verse. Hear God. Listen to God. Be attached to God. And that's what God's word does for us. It gives us that attachment. It helps us to be strong because of that attachment. Peter says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Well, why? Because the humble can see God. It's the meek that will inherit the earth, not the prideful. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus taught his disciples to pray in Matthew 6. Like I said earlier, we're the sons of God. We're the children of God, Romans chapter 8. We need to learn how we approach God. Well, it's easy. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Be always ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. One thing we can answer is, we have this because we pray. We have this hope. We have this help. And it's because we pray. In the verses I just read, I wrote down, are our challenge. Are we faithful or not to the word? Are we going to make our calling and election sure in 2 Peter chapter 1? The list of witnesses in Hebrews chapter 11, I'll say it another way. I would think that each one of those witnesses were people who prayed. Peter had much to say about Christians who suffer. And there's much to be understood about suffering. It's much to be understood about trials and tribulations. It's much to be understood about hurting. All those things bear us down. And what we, again, going back to the song, Jesus will help us with that. All we've got to do is seek out our Father. And Jesus is our mediator. I mean, he was here. He knows our sufferings. He prayed when he was here. He prayed all night before he chose his apostles. He prayed in the garden. He prayed before the garden. He prayed for his apostles. He taught us how to pray to his Father. We saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration. We saw him as he was baptized and God saying, "This is my beloved Son." Transfiguration, "Hear ye him." But this is my beloved Son. These are the kind of things that, and that's why that is a focus for us as being Christians, to remember who we are, to remember where we stand, remember where we're from, but we're not going to go back to it. To understand that God is listening, he's aware of who we are and where we are. And the challenge is to live up to who we are, today and every day. And by doing that, pray. Prayer will get us home. I hope I've made the point. We need to pray. We need to know who we are as God's people, and we need to know what sustains us as God's people. We need to stay close to the Word. We need to stay close to God. We need to be thankful. We need to cast our cares. We need to give Him praise. We need to give Him our respect and love. I mean, we can thank God every day for the breath that we have to breathe, the sun that we have shining. This was my one illustration I nearly forgot. Did you see the moon Thursday night? It was rather big. The first thought that might come to your head or should come to our heads, who do you think put it there? Who do you think made that bright moon? Who do you think made the bright sun that's in the sky right now? Look around us. God is telling us and showing us himself all the time. But we have something right here written down, which are the very words from his mind to us. Let's be a prayerful people. That's all I've got to say. It's not a lesson on how to become a Christian unless you were listening real tight, and you would have heard that too. If you believe, if you have faith, if you understand what you need to do, now would be a good time to come forward. If you have a need in terms of forgiveness, if you've done something that you need to be forgiven of and it's public, now is the time to come forward. If you just have a need of prayer for us to help you, to hold up your hand, now is the time to come forward as we stand and sing.